you're listening to Awakened to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Today, we're continuing our series on the teaching ministry within the fivefold calling by looking at powerful biblical examples of teaching, men and women God used to explain His Word with clarity, accuracy, and Spirit-led power, so that His people could understand and obey. Our key verse today comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, which says, "They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading." And now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Awaken to Deliver. Yesterday, we laid the foundation by answering the question, what is a teacher? We saw that teaching is not just transferring information. It's producing transformation through the truth of God's Word. Today, we are going to look at what this looks like in action by examining some of the clearest examples of biblical teaching in both the Old and New Testaments. I believe that this will do two things for us. First, it will show us the biblical standard for teaching, what God considers faithful, effective instruction. And second, it will challenge us to evaluate our own approach to teaching, whether we stand behind a pulpit, lead a Bible study, teach our own children at home, or simply share truth in a conversation. Our key verse today is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, and it describes what happens when God's people return from exile in Babylon. They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. That's it right there. That's teaching. Reading God's word, explaining it in a way that people understand, and ensuring they know how to apply it. So let's start with this scene in Nehemiah. Israel had been in exile for decades because of their sin and rebellion against God. Now they had returned to their land, but they were spiritually dry and in desperate need of a revival. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra the scribe stands on a wooden platform with other leaders beside him. He opens the book of the law in the sight of all the people, and as he reads, the Levites move among the crowd, explaining the meaning so that everyone could understand it. Now, this is one of the most vivid Old Testament examples of teaching God's word. They didn't just read the law, they interpreted it, clarified it, and helped the people grasp its meaning. And the result? Well, verse 9 tells us the people began to weep because they realized how far that they had drifted from God's commands. And that's the fruit of a Spirit-led teaching, conviction, repentance, and a renewed desire to obey God. Now let's move to the New Testament and Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This verse describes the early church in Jerusalem after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The apostles' teaching was central to the life of the church from the very beginning. Notice it says that they devoted themselves to it. This wasn't a casual once-a-week thing. It was a continual, eager commitment to learning the Word of God as taught by those who had been with Jesus. And this shows us that biblical teaching is not just about teachers' responsibilities. It's also about the learner's devotion. When God's people hunger for the word and faithful teachers feed that hunger, the church thrives. Now here is where it gets interesting, because teaching in the Bible isn't always from a pulpit or a formal position. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26, which we looked at briefly yesterday, we meet Apollos, an eloquent and knowledgeable man who taught boldly about Jesus. But he had gaps in his understanding. So Priscilla and Aquila, ordinary believers, not apostles, took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately. And this tells us something profound. Teaching can be one-on-one. It can happen over a meal. It can be carried out by many mature believers who knows the truth and is willing to share it. The Spirit of God can use you as a teacher, even if you never hold an official ministry title. Now, in addition, Paul gives us a blueprint for generational teaching in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. This is the multiplication model. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy was to teach faithful people, and those faithful people would teach others. That's four spiritual generations in one verse. And this model ensures that truth is not lost with one generation, but passed down faithfully. One of the tragedies that we see in the Old Testament is when a generation grows up that did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. That's what happens when teaching fails. Truth is lost, compromise creeps in, and the people drift into idolatry. Let's take a moment to look at the way Jesus taught, because he is our ultimate example. He taught in synagogues, in the open fields, by the sea, on mountainsides, and in private homes. He used parables, questions, object lessons, and direct instruction. But no matter the method, his teaching was always rooted in truth, filled with authority, and aimed at transformation. Luke chapter 24, verse 27, gives us one of my favorite glimpses into his teaching style. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. Jesus didn't just quote verses. He connected the dots, showing how all scripture pointed to him. A faithful teacher today should do the same, always leading people to see Jesus at the center of the Bible's message. Teaching in scripture was never just for head knowledge. It was for life change. Look again at Nehemiah chapter 8. Once the people understood the law, they didn't just say, "That's interesting." They repented. They celebrated God's goodness, and they renewed their covenant with him. In the same way, Acts chapter 2 tells us that after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the people were pierced to the heart and asked, "What shall we do?" That's the mark of a biblical teaching. It compels a response. Now, as we continue, I want to point out another biblical example that's often overlooked: Moses. In Deuteronomy, much of what Moses does is teach. Before the Israelites enter the Promised Land, Moses spends chapters recounting God's commands, explaining their meaning, warning of disobedience and urging obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Here we see teaching as a lifestyle. It happens daily, in ordinary moments, as the truths of God are woven into conversation and life. Now, on that note, one of the clearest characteristics of effective Bible teaching is clarity. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 says, they gave the sense. That means they didn't just read the law, they explained it so it made sense. A true teacher doesn't try to impress people with complexity. They strive to make the truth plain so that it can be understood and then applied. Paul modeled this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, when he said, however, in the church, I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. A teacher's job is not to confuse, but to clarify. So let's also talk about the heart of the teacher, because biblical teaching flows from love. Love for God, love for His Word, and love for people. Because without love, teaching becomes dry, cold, and lifeless. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that without love, even the most impressive gifts are worthless. A true teacher's goal is not to win arguments, but to win people to Christ and to help them grow in Him. The Bible is filled with examples of teaching, public and private, formal and informal, to crowds and to individuals. And in every case, the goal was the same, to communicate God's truth clearly so that people could understand, believe, and obey. If you teach in any capacity, let these examples challenge you. Are you explaining the word clearly? Are you pointing people to Jesus? Are you living what you teach? And if you are on the receiving end of teaching, devote yourself to learning, just as the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, tomorrow, we will look at the responsibility of teaching, the weight and accountability that comes with handling the Word of God, and why God holds teachers to such a high standard. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awakened to Deliver. We hope today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. To stay connected and explore more content like this, visit the link tree in the podcast description. There you'll find access to all of Awakened Ministries' socials, as well as a link to Jeff's book, 30 Days of Patience. If this podcast has blessed you, consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time donation through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly partner through one of the tiers on Patreon. All giving options are available through the link tree. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.